The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the Triangle Gardener magazine, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, from Hints and Tips website, and maybe from Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic by Louise Riote. We'll start with Dave's Garden e-newsletter. In seed time, learn. In harvest, teach. In winter, enjoy. That's said by William Blake. Christmas Holly History by Melody Rose. The holidays mean decking the halls with fresh greenery, and the iconic red berries and evergreen leaves of the holly are a familiar symbol of the season. However, holly has a long and strange history. Holly is a traditional Christmas plant. Front door wreaths, table centerpieces, Christmas cards, jewelry, and clothing designs all feature holly this time of year. Holly is a symbol of the season, and it is such a beautiful plant. It is no wonder we love it so. However, there's an interesting backstory to how this shrub or small tree found its way into our winter celebrations. The genus Ilex is found in tropical and temperate regions throughout the world, and there are about 450 members of the genus. However, there are only about 18 plants in the genus that are actually referred to as holly. It is the English holly, Ilex aquifolium, and American holly, Ilex epaca, that are often associated with the Christmas season. Ancient Romans considered holly sacred. The ancient Roman celebration of Saturnalia was observed in mid-December, leading up to the solstice. It was a time of merrymaking, gift-giving, and slaves sat down with their masters at the banquet tables and were treated as equals. Many candles lit the festivities, and children were gifted with toys. They decorated their homes with evergreen branches because evergreens were believed to help carry the sun through the dark winter period. Holly was especially favored because their god Saturn considered it sacred. Ancient European holly lore and beliefs. The Norse, Celts, and Druids also considered holly sacred, and many customs and beliefs surrounded it. They believed that cutting down a holly tree would bring bad luck. However, trimming the branches was just fine. They cut holly branches and brought them inside to keep witches away. However, holly leaves brought indoors would encourage fairies to enter and bring good luck. They also hung a holly branch from the ceiling to prevent lightning strikes. Actually, the distinctive veins and spines in holly leaves do, in fact, act as miniature lightning rods and protect the tree and other things nearby. So modern science and superstition sometimes agree. The Norse legend that migrated down to the Celts believed that the holly and the oak fought each year, with the holly winning the dark portion and the oak winning the light. The holly was the king of winter and long nights, while the oak was king of the summer and long days. They also made their front doorstep out of a piece of holly wood to repel evil spirits. Holly wood was supposed to have magical properties that affected animals, especially horses. They thought that holly wood tamed and gentled them. Thousands of coach whips were even made from Hollywood long into the 18th century. Early Christianity and the holly plant. As Christianity spread across Europe, holly and other pagan symbols were incorporated into the new customs and beliefs. Farmers had their cattle bins decorated with holly on Christmas Day, since they believed the cows would produce more milk in the coming year by seeing the branches. They also burned the cut holly branches on the 12th night to prevent bad luck. However, holly wreaths hanging in churches were considered immune, and the wreaths were divided between the parishioners and sprigs of holly taken to each home to ensure good luck. New babies were bathed in water that holly leaves had been steeped to ensure a long and healthy life. The news stories surrounding holly said that the prickly leaves represented the crown of thorns and the red berries drops of blood on Christ's forehead. Before the custom of Christmas trees reached England, kissing balls woven of ivy, boxwood, and holly were placed into entryways. The other formerly pagan plant of mistletoe was hung from the bottom of the ball, inviting people to kiss under it. In fact, the first Christmas tree in pre-Victorian England were holly bushes. However, there was still some lingering lore held over from the pagan era. It was believed that if you made a steaming tea from holly and sage and yawned over it, if you had worms or internal parasites, they would fall out of your mouth. Young maids slept with holly leaves under their pillow to dream of their future husband, and young men carried holly leaves and berries in their pockets to attract young women. They also made Hollywood cups for children to drink from. They thought that this would prevent whooping cough. Holly grows well in most temperate climates. No matter where the customs originated, we can all agree that holly is a lovely plant that works well in seasonal decorations. It is an easy shrub to grow and makes a great statement in the garden. Hollies like well-drained, acidic soil, and for the best berry production, about 8 hours of sun each day, and a male plant to fertilize around 10 female plants. That's right, hollies are dioecious, with male and female flowers on different plants. Most nurseries and garden centers have the shrubs labeled so that you can choose the number of each that you need. However, the best way to tell is that the female plants are the only ones with berries. Hollies are hardy throughout just about all of North America. However, there are varieties that do better than others in different regions. Check with your nursery or garden center to help you choose the best one for your garden. And now from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter. A garden is a grand teacher. It teaches patience and careful watchfulness. It teaches industry and thrift. Above all, it teaches entire trust. That was said by Gertrude Jekyll. Edible Landscaping, Figs by Charlie Nardozzi. There's nothing like the taste of fresh figs picked off your own tree. Figs are easier to grow in your yard than you think. Planting figs in a container is a good way to grow them in a small yard. Figs are one of the oldest fruits known to mankind. They were used by the Sumerians in 2500 BC, mentioned in the Bible in the Garden of Eden, considered sacred to the Romans, and often used in trade between Europe and the Middle East during the Middle Ages. Figs originated in Western Asia and made their way to America with the Spanish explorers in the 1500s. It seems everyone is desirous of figs for good reason. The tree is easy to grow, produces abundantly for years, and the fruits are sweet and tasty, eaten fresh or dried. Figs were even used as a sugar substitute during the Middle Ages. If your only experience of figs has been packaged, dried figs, or fig Newton cookies, you're missing something special. Fresh figs are soft, sweet, and creamy. They can be used in baking, to sweeten meats, or in desserts. One of my favorite recipes is fresh figs topped with warm mascarpone cheese and drizzled with honey. It's to die for. The figs are high in iron, fiber, potassium, and calcium. They can also be used as a laxative, so don't go overboard when munching on these fruits. The trees can be grown outdoors in warm climates or in containers in cooler, colder climates. Either way, a few trees will produce more figs than you'll ever be able to eat. Planning. Figs are a Mediterranean crop, so they thrive in warm locations. There are many varieties of figs to choose from, and most do not require pollination to produce a crop. In fact, only the Smyrna, S-M-Y-R-N-A figs, the famous Calamirna figs of California, require a specialized wasp to pollinate the flowers to get fruit. Most varieties grown by home gardeners, including those that I'm going to list, do not require wasp pollination to produce a crop of fruits. Figs produce a spring crop and a late summer, fall main crop. For most varieties, the spring crop is small and lower quality than the fall crop. The fruits mature to a green, yellow, or dark brown skin color, depending on the variety. The flesh color is usually amber, red, or pink. Many varieties have multiple names, so check a few sources to be sure you're getting the correct variety. Black Mission, the most popular fig variety. It has purple-skinned fruit and is very productive. It's best adapted to California. Brown Turkey. This is one of the hardiest fig varieties available. It can survive USDA Zone 5 conditions with protection and is a good container variety as well. The sweet fruits mature to dark brown skin color when ripe. Celeste. Similar to brown turkey and often called the sugar fig in the South, Celeste is a hardy fig variety with a violet-skinned mature fruit. It grows better in the Southeast than the Southwest or California. Conadria. Conadria, C-O-N-A-D-R-I-A. A green-skinned variety that dries well. Conadria is well adapted to California and Southeast growing conditions. Hardy Chicago, another cold hardy fig variety that does well grown in containers. Hardy Chicago ripens its brown skinned fruits in midsummer. Latarula, L-A-T-T-A-R-U-L-A. This green-skinned variety has amber-colored flesh and is known for its sweet flavor. It's also called the Italian honey fig for that reason. The fruits are good fresh, dried, and canned. LSU Purple, a newer variety that reliably produces an early and late crop of figs in the southeast. The skin is purple and fruits are large. The trees are nematode resistant. LSU Gold is another new variety with yellow-skinned fruits. Negron, N-E-G-R-O-N-N-E, also known as Violet du Bordeaux. This is considered by many to be one of the finest tasting figs available. The purple-skinned fruits grow well in the northwest and west. The tree is dwarf and similar to Black Mission. Petit Nigri, Petit, P-E-T-I-T, Nigri, N-E-G-R-I. This very dwarf variety grows only a few feet tall and produces black skinned fruit. It's a great container variety. Planting. Experiment with different fig varieties. Some fruits are striped, such as Panache Tiger, making the tree even more attractive. Figs need sun, heat, and regular moisture to grow their best. Plant trees on well-drained soil in an area that gets at least 8 hours of direct sun a day. In northern areas, consider planting figs in protected spots against a south-facing wall or building or in containers. Amend the soil before planting with compost or manure. Figs have shallow, spreading root systems, and the trees can grow 15 to 30 feet tall, depending on the variety. Select varieties whose mature size will fit your selected area. Select dwarf varieties if growing in containers. Although mature figs can withstand dry conditions, water regularly when leaves start to droop. Fertilize 3 times a year, starting in spring, with a complete fertilizer like 555. Don't fertilize after August. Add lime to the soil to bring pH up to 6.5 level. For container figs, select a large pot, 15 gallons. Fill with soil, apply water and fertilizer regularly to keep the tree growing well. Slow-release organic fertilizer works best. To prune, remove broken or diseased branches, suckers, or side branches, and cut back the ends of main branches by 1/4. Fig branches exude a white, sticky sap when cut that can irritate the skin, so wear gloves when pruning. To overwinter, move into an unheated garage or basement where the temperature stays between 20 degrees and 50 degrees. You can also bury in-ground figs by digging a trench on one side, then bending it to the ground in fall and covering with soil or mulch. Unearth the tree when warm weather arrives and stand it back upright. Figs are relatively pest-free. If nematodes are a problem, select resistant varieties. Most fig problems stem from weather or planting the wrong variety for your area. Take extra care to select a variety adapted to your growing situation and climate. Be aware, birds and raccoons love ripe figs. You may need to protect trees with netting and fencing if these critters discover them in your yard. Harvest figs when the fruit turns the mature color, becomes soft, and droops. It should slip from the tree easily when handled. Figs don't continue ripening off the tree, so it's best to let them fully ripen before harvesting for the sweetest flavor. Some gardeners have been able to encourage fruits to ripen in fall by dabbing the bottom of individual fruits with vegetable oil when the fruit's flesh has turned pink. If applied too early, the figs may drop. If applied too late, it has no effect. Figs ripen within 5 days after applying the oil. Fresh figs don't last long in storage and are best eaten within days of harvest, or preserved by canning or drying, or made into pies and preserves. From the Triangle Gardener magazine, we've got some information on the State Farmers Market. Visit these vendors at the State Farmers Market for plants, garden decor, and more. It's open 7 days a week off of Lake Wheeler Road, I-40, exit 297. The Christmas cactus and hardy houseplants with snake plants, tropicals, and combos. Phone 919-370-6375. 919-370-6375. And J&C Greenhouses. Fresh cut trees started arriving November the 14th. Visit them for all your holiday decorating. Spaces 75 to 77 and 80 to 82. And Market Imports with fountains, pottery, water features, bird baths, trellises, and fire pits. Now from Henson Tips, we have Will Hart's Gardening Diary for January. Fruit. Inspect any stored fruit and remove any that are rotten. If conditions are right, continue planting fruit trees and bushes. Select and heal in sky-on wood in a cold, sheltered, and shaded position for grafting later. Apply potash to strawberries, gooseberries, red and white currants. Apply a balanced fertilizer to cob nuts and filberts. Check all tree stakes and ties for firmness. Continue to prune apples and pears, except in hard frost. Continue to prune established and newly planted bush fruit. Spray dormant fruit trees, canes, and bushes with tar oil. Controls overwintering aphid and sucker eggs, if not already done in December. Inspect apples and pears for canker and treat where necessary. Spray peaches and nectarines for peach leaf curl and repeat 10 to 14 days. Cover fan trained above with plastic above against the above. Vegetables. Sow broad bean seeds under glass for an early summer harvest. Plant out after hardening off in early spring. Lime beds where necessary. Force rhubarb by covering up upturned bins, boxes, or special forcing pots. Do not cover the same plant the following year. Turn compost heaps to increased decomposition. Ventilate when possible frames to help prevent buildups of mildew. Leave open on mild days, but cover with sacking if frost is forecast. Dig over ground for frost to break down. And for your lawns, it's a good month to have the mower serviced and any other tools sharpened. Keep leaves and debris off the lawn. And turfing can be carried out if the weather is dry and mild. And now from Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic by Louise Riot. So here's some information on some flower lore. Cyclamen. This is a genus of dwarf tuberous plants from the Mediterranean regions. They are exotically handsome and best grown in a cool temperature. Cyclamen is from the Greek kyklos, a circle, referring to the coiling of the flower stems in some species after flowering. This is the plant's method of bringing the seed capsules down to soil level. Do not keep these plants near any orchid plant at any time, as they give off ethylene gases that kill the orchid and its blossoms. However, cyclamen has been long esteemed for killing parasites on fruit trees. The principal saponin found in the bulbs is effective, fresh or dried. Daffodils, Narcissus. Daffodils announce the advent of spring. Their cheerful yellow combines well with the violet purple of the grape hyacinth, or you might finish the bed off with a ring of crocuses. Daffodils discourage moles. In Europe and England, the interest in daffodils has sometimes assumed the proportions of a craze. Rival enthusiasts grow and cross daffodils, getting extravagant prices, $500 to $2,000 for no more than 5 or 6 bulbs. In America, we have never taken these flowers so seriously, but we love them nevertheless and plant them widely in our spring gardens. Dahlia. If you want an ideal flower, try the vigorously growing dahlia for an abundance of beautiful blooms and, best of all, relative freedom from diseases and pests. They come in many sizes, many colors, and single or double flowered. Cactus varieties are particularly attractive. Dahlias grow best in deep, fertile, well-drained soil in a sunny location. The plants are easily damaged by cold. Separate the root clusters and plants about the time of the last killing frost. Space them 3 or 4 feet apart if you want large exhibition flowers. For large blooms, allow only one stalk per root to develop. Remove all small, weak sprouts. When the shoot is about 6 inches tall, pinch it back to the third set of leaves to promote branching. Everlasting fragrant. Nephelium polycephalum. This is a fragrant immortelle of the autumn fields, spicy and sweet, often growing in old fields and woods. G. ramesissimum is a fragrant pink-flowered everlasting. Everlasting pea, Lathyrus grandiflorus. Use this plant as a control against field mice. And hollyhock. This native of China is a tall perennial herb that is usually treated as a biennial in our gardens. The roots are demulcent and emollient, thus of good use as cold and diuretic remedies. The generic name, Althea, is derived from the Greek althenin, meaning to heal. Hollyhock is good to rub on bee stings if the leaves are bruised in oil and made into an